Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not entirely sure how your week has been, but mine has been tremendous. After church on Sunday, we got all packed up. I had a pastor's conference Monday, Tuesday, and today I got home from that conference at 6 o'clock this evening. And during that time, Monday, we gathered around the divine service, hearing a new set of propers, singing a new set of hymns with brother pastors and their families from throughout South Wisconsin. Then we sang together and prayed Vespers and heard another sermon. And then we closed our day with the order of compline, which is all found in the hymn. The next day, we woke up to discuss the Word of God already at 7 a.m., we had another matin service at 8 with another sermon, Vespers at 2:30 with another sermon, and compline once again to end the day. As our prayers rise before God as incense, you would imagine, yes, there was incense burning and flowing. And then this morning, I actually had the joy and privilege of preaching at the matin service once again, and before we left, we praised God again. So, if you will permit me, in the joy of being surrounded by people of faith, hearing God's word and hearing it preached. So today, the church celebrates three faithful women from the scriptures. We celebrate first and foremost a woman who goes by two names, Tabitha or Dorcas. I prefer the name Tabitha. I'm sure she prefers that as well. But regardless, the name means the same thing, whether it's in Aramaic as Tabitha or whether it's in Greek as Dorcas, the name means gazelle. And while I don't know exactly why that was her name, that's all the scriptures really say there. This woman was faithful to the cause of the way. She was faithful to the faith. And then she died. But God was not yet done with her, and so St. Peter came to her, and he raised her from the dead. Second woman, Lydia. Lydia was a seller of purple goods, and Lydia was a woman of deep faith. She had St. Paul come and bring the word of God to her, and she was baptized. She was faithful to the word of God, and she used the riches that God had blessed her with to serve the church. Her household was converted with her, and it was a stronghold of Christians who would go from one area to another. She would put them up and show hospitality. And lastly, we have the first deaconess, Phoebe, a woman who devoted her life to service in the church, a woman who rejoiced in the same Savior that we rejoice in. I share that with you because of the importance of these women. There are men and women throughout all of history who have followed the faith. These are just three examples of that faithfulness. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul, the same one who visited with two of those women, writes, "We command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you." God is a God of order, and there is great comfort and joy, at least for me, when we follow that order. These orders have been handed down through the centuries by faithful men and women who confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. When I had the opportunity to sing both matins and vespers, these are services that the church has prayed for years. Some of the hymns that we sang are some of the same hymns that we sang this very evening, hymns that were written 1,700 years ago. And there is joy in that too. We follow the order because God is not a God of disorder. Rather, he is a God of order. Not according to the tradition. These other brothers, they walk disorderly, not according to the tradition which he received from us. We receive this tradition. I've said it in the past, and I will say it tonight, and I'll say it again. We do not hold tradition at the same level as the Scriptures, but neither are we like many of the other Protestants that will throw it out completely. No, we take that tradition. It has been handed down century upon century by faithful men and women, and we submit it under the authority of the Scriptures. It's no surprise that our worship this evening and on Sunday is almost identical to what your great-great-grandfather would have worshipped like in English if he were a Missouri Synod Lutheran. This common service that we share as Lutherans, given to us in 1888 and handed down through our hymnals. There is joy in that. We don't rest on the liturgy just because it's old. We rest on it because we are singing God's word back to Him. God is a God of order. Our worship service revolves around two main high heavenly mountains. The first one builds us up to the mountaintop of the gospel. As the gospel was read to you tonight, inspired by the Holy Spirit through sinful men, and then as He raised up another sinful man to stand before you and preach to you, this is that first climax. We hear God's word, and we hear that we are sinners, but that we have a Savior. The second climax will come after I step out of this pulpit, as I go to switch us over to the service of the sacrament. As I add that chasuble, that sacramental garment, we switch into that service of the sacrament. We prepare with it, with a preface, with the proper preface, with that salutation once again. We gather the prayers of the church and we give them up to our Lord. The climax happens when we pray our Lord's Prayer, whether the pastor leads us or we pray it all together. And then we hear our Lord's words again, Himself, His own words, the words that join His body and blood to this bread and wine. It's the word of Jesus, and then it's the receiving of His body and blood. That is the second climax. That is the second mountaintop experience that you get week in and week out. This is where heaven comes to earth. It is with joy that I share the word of God with you this night, as it is every time I get to share it with you. It is with great joy because it's not my word. It is with great joy because it doesn't rest on what I have done. It doesn't rest on what you have done. It rests upon what Jesus Christ has done. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Through our Lord's baptism, He makes that water holy. And when we are washed, and we remember that we are washed, He takes that sin that we had and He places it upon Himself. But it transfers 2,000 years ago to His cross. We remember that we are baptized children of a most high God. And so this allows us to serve. It allows us to serve God and to serve our neighbor. It allows us to serve God in our church, in our families. It allows us to serve our neighbors by sharing that message. So we walk in an ordered way, because that is how God is. He commends, He exhorts through our Lord Jesus Christ that we work in quietness, we eat our bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good in Christ Jesus our Lord. This directly ties us into our gospel lesson for this evening. There are days when you do the right thing and you feel like it doesn't do anything. You do the right thing day after day. In all honesty, just by waking up in the morning, by praying to God, by making sure that your children, if they're in the home, are fed and nourished, that they have received the word of God, you have a million other things to do. And it feels like you never get anywhere. And you can grow restless and you can grow weary, but you give that to the Lord. We look forward to the day when we receive the benefits. The benefits are eternal. Now, you don't receive the benefits because of your work, but because of Christ's work. But if you stand firm in this faith, if you make it through, even after the day in and day out grunge that is your life, we have the sure and certain hope to look forward to. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That is what it is all about. That is why Lydia and Phoebe and Tabitha worked for the Lord. Not just to be seen by other men, but to be seen by the Lord. That they might serve him, that others might see how God works through their works. And that is why we do it too. We work hard for our employers, we work hard for our families, not to be seen by others, but that God may work through us. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. This very night you get a foretaste of that feast. And if this is joyful for you, and I pray that it is, think about what the feast will be like for eternity. No more to forgive your sins because your sins will be gone. There will be no more sin. It will be to the joy of eternal life. We will be with Jesus in a splendid way. We will walk, we will run and not grow weary, we will not faint. We will not give out, but we will be with Jesus. I hope that you think about how sweet that is, and that you receive the same amount of joy as I do when you get to worship our Lord, when you get to sing back and forth through the liturgy, when you get to sing these hymns that our forefathers wrote and sang together. That you do not grow weary just because you don't see week after week packed pews, because the saints are still there. Those who have gone before you in the faith are rejoicing and awaiting that day when we will be with Jesus forever. And so the church sings, O blessed light, O Trinity, O everlasting unity, as now the fiery sun departs, send forth your light into our hearts. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.